I saw an interview recently with the actor Macaulay Culkin, who probably is best known for the movie Home Alone that came out 28 years ago. The story of a child left behind when his parents went on Christmas vacation. It turns out, even as they're struggling and fighting to get their way back home after they realize he's not with them, he handles himself pretty well, stymieing a couple of burglars who were determined to get rid of, to deal with him and steal from his house. Now, because the movie said at Christmas time, it was actually interesting to hear him say, so many people still watch that movie every Christmas that he tends not to go out in public between Thanksgiving and Christmas because he's so easily recognized and just can't deal with all of it. And as funny as the movie was and successful as it was, there was probably some part of every parent who saw that and worried about how they would handle a situation like that. The anxiety of every parent is losing or leaving behind a child, having a moment where you can't find your child. If you've ever had a time when you looked around and your child got out of sight and you weren't sure where they were for a brief time, or they were out with some folks and didn't come home when they were supposed to, you can understand all the emotion that would come with not knowing quite where your child is at a particular moment. We don't get a lot of detail as to how Mary and Joseph felt in the passage described in Luke chapter 2. We see that they were faithful Jewish parents, raising Jesus according to the law. They had him dedicated at the right times. They participated in the festival trips to Jerusalem, and as a 12-year-old, took him to be part of a ceremony which signified the transition into manhood. It was a typical practice for Jewish males. It was a big deal. They went up with a group. They had the time for Passover. They got together in their group and headed home when it was over. Only Jesus wasn't with them. Now, in a large crowd, we can't be too hard on Mary and Joseph. It could have been easy to lose track of who was with them and who wasn't. But when they realized they'd been traveling for a day and didn't know where Jesus was, imagine the emotions. There weren't cell phones to call and track him down. They couldn't hop in the car and go well over the speed limit to hurry back into Jerusalem. They turned around and went back, and took several days it took until they found him in the temple asking questions, engaging in theological conversation with the religious leaders. And when they found him, imagine all the emotions they felt. Relief, sense of comfort, along with a little bit of frustration. Mary's only recorded words in this particular passage in the unfolding of this scene are, "Why have you done this to us?" And I bet every parent in this room has had a moment when you've wanted to look at your kid and gone, "Why did you do this to me?" We get where the emotion's coming from. And then Jesus responds with one of those statements that's really hard to respond to. "Did you not know that I had to be about my Father's business?" That's just not fair. "Why did you do this?" "I was just doing God's will." Next time, listen to your mother. We're not told what she thought in response to this answer. But I love the line Luke uses as he describes her response. We're told that she treasured all these things in her heart. She treasured all these things in her heart. She sat, she pondered She added this to her mental collection of things that she was going to hold on to and remember for the rest of her life. It's a wonderful phrase and a good metaphor, I think, for Mother's Day reflections. She treasured all these things in her heart. And I understand it's not true of every family. I understand that for all the good mothers, there were some that are less so, and some of you are glad to celebrate your mothers, and others may have had struggles. But so often in the image we have of good and godly mothers, it is often in many families the mothers who hold on to the treasures of family life. 20 years ago, when my mother passed away, my dad began to sort through her piles. If you've been in my office, just know I inherited my organizational style from my mother. And Dad, who we never knew was quite this organized until Mom wasn't around, and he began to clean up and organize drawers and go through piles and box things up. And within a few months, he came to visit us, and he had a couple big boxes, and he said, "These are things your mother kept through the years, and I'm going to give them to you now." There were old pictures, newspaper articles that I was in. We were in a small town. Things got in the local newspaper a lot. Letters I'd written to her, Mother's Day cards, all these treasures of my growing up that she had kept and had in drawers or stacks somewhere. And Dad was ready to move on and leave me a box of goodies. But through the years, as I went back through, I imagined Mom saving those things and treasuring them and valuing things that, honestly, I didn't see a lot of value in. But it was such a neat picture of my mother who treasured the things that had been part of my life and our lives together. Seeing treasures in what others would have dismissed. And when we think of godly mothers, loving mothers, it's so often part of what we think about is that ability of good mothers to see the treasures where others may not see all that much of value. Mary treasured all these things in her heart. Whatever anxiety and anger she was feeling faded into relief and amazement at her son, and she treasured those moments. It's a wonderful picture of a good mother. And it's also a glimpse, I'm convinced, into the heart of God. Our reading from Isaiah, as Amy has highlighted for us in the children's sermon, talks of God who loves us like a mother. We're accustomed to praying, "Our Father who art in heaven." There are many parables and images that in Scripture that talk of God as a father-type figure. But we know God is not just a father. God's not a particular gender. God also loves us like a mother. And to the people of Israel in their failure, after all they'd done, after the ways they'd rebelled against God, God had punished them. They had gone into exile, because even good and loving parents practice discipline. But even after all of the failures, all that Israel had done, other gods, and just turning away from God, God speaks to those people through Isaiah, promising, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." It's a beautiful image. God compared to a nurturing, loving mother who offers comfort to God's children. There may be discipline. There certainly is disappointment from God's side as He looks at us and calls us to faithfulness. But above all else, when God looks at you and me, God loves, and like a loving mother, wants to comfort us as God's children. God treasures you and me, treasures our lives, as we see in the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus. You may be familiar with the play Raisin in the Sun that debuted in the late 1950s. It portrays incidents around the life of a very poor African-American family in the 50s, struggling to get by. When the husband or father in this family passes away, they receive $10,000 in life insurance money, and the mother begins to try to figure out how to make a better life for her family. She sees this as her opportunity to get out of the ghetto, and she buys a small house for $3,000, so you know this wasn't recent. They move into a neighborhood, and then their money. The daughter, who's bright and has dreams of school and education and maybe even med school, begins to imagine the possibilities of what this money can allow her to do to fulfill her dreams of an education. But the older brother has plans and an idea. And he comes to his mother to persuade her that he and his friend have this business idea, and if she'll give him the money, he can turn it even into more money, and he can take care of his family, and he can provide for them and make things good. But as you probably can imagine, when things sound too good to be true, they usually are. And this friend of the brother disappears with all of the money. And in the midst of him coming back to acknowledge the mess and the failure and the loss of the possibilities that money could have been, his sister loses her mind, berating him, yelling at him, putting him down, calling him names, laying into him. Her dreams are dead, and she is letting it all go at her brother. And when she takes a breath in the middle of her tirade, the mother interrupts and says, "I thought I taught you to love him." And she says, "Love him? There's nothing left to love." And the mother says, "There's always something left to love. And if you ain't learned that, you ain't learned nothing. Have you cried for that boy today? I don't mean for yourself and the family because we lost all that money. I mean for him, for what all he's been through and what it done to him. Child, when do you think is the time to love somebody most? When they done good and made things easy for everybody? Well, then you ain't through learning, because that ain't the time at all. It's when he's at his lowest and can't believe in himself because the world done whipped him so." In the words of that mother, there was grace. Grace, even in the failure of her son, to see a son needing love. To understand love's not just offered to those who've earned it, but love's offered especially when we least deserve it. The love of that mother was looking for the treasure in her son, even when her daughter, his sister, could see nothing of value. We all, I'm convinced, in this life hunger to experience the kind of love that loves us even when we're a mess, that loves us when we're most broken, that loves us when we struggle even to find any reason to love ourselves. We all hunger for folks who will see treasure in us when we're not sure we see a lot of value ourselves. And when Isaiah tells us, As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. We get a glimpse of the kind of mothering love that God offers to you and to me. Not everybody in this world finds a good and safe home in which to grow up. Not everybody, probably not everybody in this room, had a mother who modeled godliness for you. We all, in the midst of life, get beaten down and knocked down and left wondering of our value at points. But on this Mother's Day, what a gift to be reminded that whatever your home life was like or is like now, God, like a wonderful mother, offers comfort and love to you and to me. God's forgiveness is offered not just because it's earned, but precisely when it hasn't been. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world, not because we're good, but God so loved the world, God sent Jesus to show us that no matter what our lives look like, no matter what messes we've made, no matter how we feel about ourselves, no matter how beaten down we feel, no matter how we're struggling with grief or feelings of pain, God loves you and me. And you and I are treasures in God's heart. You and I are treasures in the heart of God. What a gift that is as we face life. And what a gift it is, no matter what emotions you're feeling today, amidst the celebration of godly mothers, the joy of knowing God celebrates and is part of that celebration. But every year at this time of year, I see a number of articles online written by those for whom this is a tough day. Those who've lost children, who've had miscarriages, who haven't been able to have children. If you ask around, I bet it wouldn't take many of us long to find folks who quit going to church on Mother's Day some years back because it's just too hard. For those who have lost their mother, and for whom this is a reminder, there are many emotions that are part of days like this. And God loves all of us right where we are. And so on this day, amidst all the emotions of life, amidst all that you've been dealing with, whether you're feeling good about yourself or not, whether your life's going like you expected or not, remember that God is like that loving mother who treasures you in God's own heart. God never leaves. God never lets go of you. God loves you with a grace that never stops, even when you think you might be beyond love. So today, accept the gift that you are God's beloved child, a treasure in God's heart. And that changes everything. Life's not easy. Life's not going to be easy. The valleys and the mountaintops come and go. But what a gift it is to know you are loved and God treasures you. In God's eyes, you are a treasure. Will you pray with me? For undeserved grace and love, God, we give you thanks. It's far too easy to let the messages and voices of life beat us down. But I pray for every single person here today that we will be reminded that we are loved, that we are precious in your sight, and that you invite us to live and draw close to your heart. speak your words of grace and love to each and every one of us, to bring hope, to bring healing, to bring grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn